Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is June 8th, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our video library in MarketsWiki Education about the history of trading, including from the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Canadian wildfires are sending a smoky haze to the east coast of the U.S., causing havoc for air travel and even postponing Major League Baseball games. The New York Yankees were to host the Chicago White Sox last night in the Bronx, but the game was postponed because of the orange haze deemed clearly hazardous air quality, the Chicago Tribune reported. Even Hamilton canceled performances in New York because of the air quality issues, USA Today reported. Mask wearing is back in style in New York as the city is distributing 1 million free N95 masks, MarketWatch said. Amid the hazy orange sky in New York, one has to wonder if former President Donald Trump would be invisible with his orange tan skin. The Financial Times says the wildfire smoke has made New York's air quality the worst in the world. Meanwhile, The Guardian reports greenhouse gas emissions are at an all-time high. Another force of nature hitting Chicago caused a record number of hotel rooms to be booked. The three Taylor Swift concerts in Chicago brought people in from all over the world to attend and stay in Chicago's hotels, Bloomberg reported. Occupancy rates hit 96.8% as fans flocked to Chicago for the concerts. Oops! The Wall Street Journal is reporting the Internal Revenue Service mailed out millions of letters demanding payment for amounts owed this month, many with the wrong due date. Now it has issued an apology. The Journal also has a news explainer video titled "Why a Copper Shortage Threatens EVs and Green Transition." First nickel, now copper. What's next? Robert Bouge and his ABN AMRO clients and colleagues have arrived safely in Canary Wharf after cycling there from Amsterdam as part of Robert's Kilt Challenge experience. Robert has raised 17,284 pounds so far. Let's get him to 20,000, which is 138% of his 12,500 pound goal. Congratulations to Robert and all the other riders on the completion of their cycling tour to London. You can donate to the Kilt Challenge with a link in today's newsletter. Do you know which principal trading firm has a lot of interns this summer in Chicago? IMC announced on LinkedIn that they are excited to welcome 120 interns in Chicago this summer. Gary DeWall and Carl Kennedy of Catton have a commentary titled "Swap Dealers and Futures Commission Merchants, Let's Talk About Risk," says CFTC in an advance notice of proposed rulemaking. On June 6th, CFTC Chairman Rostam Benham spoke to the U.S. House Committee on Agriculture. In his closing comments, mentioned a juicy comment about the CFTC and its funding. The CFTC has been underfunded since it was created and has been fighting for the resources to do the job Congress set before it since then. Benham noted that presently the CFTC is the only financial market regulator that relies on appropriated dollars from Congress for its funding. He also made the case that for any regulator taking on new authority, it is imperative that Congress provide the resources necessary to implement that new authority. Hint, hint, hint. The CFTC needs a new funding mechanism to match the new demands of its job. Chairman Benham was joined in his testimony before the House Ag Committee at the hearing on the future of digital assets and providing clarity for digital asset spot markets by FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan, who delivered comments to the committee. There's a link in today's newsletter for them. Lucan didn't comment on CFTC funding this time. Fortune is reporting that stablecoin giant Circle announced on Thursday that Heath Tarbert, a former regulator who has held senior positions at Citadel Securities and the World Bank, is joining the company as chief legal officer and head of corporate affairs. He was the CFTC chairman. Have you ever wanted to discuss derivatives in Leipzig, Germany? Now's your chance. The FIA is holding an event on June 29, 2023 in Leipzig at the Hotel Michaelis. Details are available in today's newsletter. Jennifer Just of Peak Six was interviewed in a podcast titled ABC to CEO Interviews, Jennifer Just, that delves into Just's career and successes. The CME Group issued a disciplinary action yesterday against Gregory Wasserman for disruptive trading practices and Rule 575 violations. He was fined $150,000 and permanently suspended from trading on any CME market, clearinghouse, or SEF, and from having a business affiliation with, employment by, or having a financial or beneficial interest in a member or broker association. The CME said Wasserman entered orders during the pre-open period in the soybean, soybean meal, and soybean oil futures markets with the intent at the time of order entry to cancel or modify the order before the execution. The most read stories in yesterday's JLN options were zero data expiration options and single stock futures, two products linked together in my mind, and Miami International Holdings launches new real-time clearing platform on Minneapolis Grain Exchange, and Wall Street's new fear gauge is trading in curiously stable way. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's from the Wall Street Journal, the headline. Beaming solar energy from space gets a step closer. Scientists are testing how satellites could collect power from the sun and send clean electricity to Earth and getting encouraging results. In this age of wireless everything, engineers are trying to perform the ultimate act of cord cutting, generating abundant solar electricity in space and beaming it to the ground. No power cables required. More than half a century ago, an article titled Power from the Sun in the Journal of Science spelled out the rationale for this high wireless act. Great. My comment. Great. Now we will have powerful weapons in space aimed at the Earth. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, How the Supreme Court Shaped Financial Lives of Americans. The justice's coming decision on student debt cancellation is among cases with direct impact on people's wallets. The Supreme Court can't set interest rates or manage the money supply, but its rulings can have as powerful an influence on Americans' financial lives as the Federal Reserve. The High Court's ruling on President Biden's student loan cancellation program, expected in the coming weeks, will have an unusually direct impact on people's monthly budgets. The panel's decisions will have shaped our financial lives over centuries, from income taxes to the minimum wage to what people pay for health care. While not explicitly about money, the court's landmark rulings on abortion have also affected people's finances, legal scholars say. My comment, with liberty and justice for all. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, mystery bet before SEC crypto crackdown may mint trader millions. Block of Coinbase put options traded minutes before SEC filing. Trade could have minted a windfall of $2.6 million in 24 hours. Less than a half hour before U.S. regulators cracked down on a key crypto exchange, an options trader made a short-term bet against Coinbase Global Inc. that may have netted them millions of dollars. At 10:36 a.m. on Monday, a block of 4,806 contracts of Coinbase $50 puts expiring Friday hit the tape when the stock was at $61.71. My comment, given the Binance news, this was not as suspicious as it would normally be. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. The headline, Ken Griffin's latest listing, a piece of his unfinished four-story penthouse. A little less than a year since he announced his personal and corporate moves to Florida, Citadel Financial Chief Ken Griffin has put another of his Chicago condos on the market. This one, the unfinished 36th floor at number 9 Walton, came on the market Monday, priced at $12 million. It's one of four floors he purchased at the top of the building in November 2017 for over $58 million. My comment, Mr. Griffin may have forgotten about this condo that he never finished before leaving Chicago. The good news is that he has sold lots of nice places. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was SEC Chair Gensler, the U.S. doesn't need cryptocurrency from Decrypt. Second was a four-way tie among a Wall Street trader made a $7.5 million windfall on a suspiciously timed investment ahead of a surprise debt limit deal concession from Insider. The John Lothian News video interview, Ariane Adams celebrates three SIBO anniversaries and talks about the exchange's evolving product lineup and opportunities for the future growth at OIC 2023. The Wall Street Journal's Who is Brian Armstrong, Coinbase CEO, is taking on the SEC, and the Vermiculus announcement. In record time, Vermiculus microservice-based clearing solution live on Minneapolis Grain Exchange. Third was the webpage for the AFM 25th Annual Conference in Budapest, which ended yesterday. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first one is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, SEC's Gary Gensler had crypto in his sights for years. Now he's suing Binance and Coinbase. Agency chair focuses enforcement power on exchanges after earlier failures to subdue industry. Gary Gensler had seen enough. In 2 years running the Securities and Exchange Commission, he said, he or his staff met dozens of times with cryptocurrency exchanges that were seeking special exemptions from the laws governing the rest of Wall Street. Those talks didn't lead anywhere, and neither did Gensler's efforts to cajole, prod, and even threaten crypto into compliance. Now the SEC is unleashing a barrage of enforcement actions against crypto's biggest middlemen in a fight that has existential stakes for the companies and could define Gensler's legacy. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, investors pull back support for green and social measures amid U.S. political pressure. Climate and human rights proposals overall receive fewer votes in 2023 corporate proxy season. Investor support for environmental and social activism sank overall at this year's annual meetings of U.S. companies, reflecting hesitation over increasingly prescriptive proposals and mounting political pressures. The waning enthusiasm was evident across an array of businesses, including Amazon, ExxonMobil, and United Parcel Service. And then finally, here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, "It's time to admit it. Bank regulation doesn't quite work. Those stricter capital rules are touted as the solution to U.S. banks' vulnerabilities. Credit Suisse has shown that big buffers don't guarantee stability." For U.S. officials, what happened to Silicon Valley Bank seems to have an easy solution. Merge regional lenders together and regulate them as strictly as megabanks. The kink in the plan is that Credit Suisse also failed spectacularly. The Swiss government this month backed a parliamentary inquiry, the fifth in the country's history, to examine the bank's sale to its main rival, UBS, scheduled to close as soon as Monday. The merger was hurriedly brokered by officials during the third weekend of March on the premise that a massive deposit flight could otherwise have toppled Credit Suisse the following week. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.